Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. It is one of those days where the show is going to go a lot of different directions. Eric is at the Pac-12 Football Media Days going on right now in Hollywood. We'll hear from Todd Graham here shortly. And I have no idea who's going to show up because Matt Leinart bopped by earlier, and we may get him. We may get Todd. We may get coaches, players. It's one of those shows that I like. I don't like it when you just, we have to have somebody here. No, it's organic. So we'll have that, and then it's Friday, so we'll have Good Eat the Movies. Ghostbusters is out. It looks dreadful. It just looks hideous. Like, I can't imagine paying to go see it, but yet, you know, from a different generation, remakes never are good. Someday somebody's going to try to remake Caddyshack. And someday somebody's going to try to remake Animal House. And someday somebody's going to try to remake the Blues Brothers. And in all cases, we're going to sit there and say, this is crapola. It's not good. Someday. So, you know, doing a Ghostbusters and having different people of a younger genre that may be more identifiable, I get it. I understand it. But usually when you do remakes, I mean usually, I've heard like there's been conversation of redoing The Godfather, okay? And just recasting everybody and having DiCaprio be part of it and so on and so forth. Now, come on. Art is art. We're not going to go take a Rembrandt and go say, oh, somebody else is going to redo the Rembrandt, right? No, we're not going to do that. I mean, how many times have we seen remakes that have really killed it? The next time, let's recast Star Wars. No, let's just show the original. A Wonderful Life that we show every Christmas Eve. Let's redo A Wonderful Life. No, there's a reason why they show it with these people from years, from Jimmy Stewart and on. So I have no desire to see Ghostbusters, but some of you are probably very excited. Some of you are going to go stand in line in the heat for hours to go see it. It's your call. It's your entertainment dollars. Me, it looks like it blows. So there's a few things today. I'm in a fine mood here on a Friday. I'm in such a fine mood that before the show started today, I was playing Pokemon Go in the hallways. Who doesn't play Pokemon Go? You know, I've got it on my phone. My 11-year-old's, I'm not going to give him an iPhone, so I put it on my iPhone. So here at the studios, Jared caught me screwing around doing Pokemon Go. I didn't find any Pokemon here. This is a hermetically sealed studio. This is a very tightly wound group where you cannot get Pokemon in here. But last night, because last night there was nothing on last night. Let's be honest. There was nothing on in sports. The Daryl Strawberry thing was interesting. The 30 for 30 with Strawberry. I watched all of the Obama, David Muir deal last night on ESPN. And it was fine. There was some moments. There was a guy from Black Lives Matters that was there, and he had his discussion point. There's some tragic video, and then we had the thing in France yesterday, so it kind of overshadowed the whole deal. When I say a thing in France, I sound so flip about it, but just another horrific incident in our world. So I was playing Pokemon Go last night. I took my kids to this new yogurt shop that opened up. Guys, you know this. When there's something new that opens up near you, and if you don't know this, one day you will when you're a dad. I've got two nitwit 20 and 22-year-old daughters. They're just dorks. And I've got an 11-year-old son, and they're all really close. So at 9 o'clock, it's let's go get yogurt, this new yogurt place that opened up. And of course, I'm driving, and they're all three are playing Pokemon Go. Of course they are. They're not into dad at all. All dad is there to do is be a chauffeur and be an ATM for yogurt. So I didn't roll through that last night. What a disaster that was. On the sports end of things, I don't know where to start with the Diamondbacks. They begin the second half of the season tonight. But yesterday, the second half of the season, two things happened. The first was Shelby Miller was sent down to AAA. So here's a guy that they gave up a boatload for. And those of you that have said, well, those guys that they got back in exchange for, that Atlanta got back, didn't do anything. You're missing the point here. Okay? Those are prospects for the most part. For the most part. If Inciarte were here in the outfield, do you think they'd have a better shot offensively than having Tomas roll around out there? He's a load. The injury to Pollock, if Inciarte were still here, do you think they'd have a better defensive outfield? The answer is yes. And offensively, too. So, you know, when Shelby gets sent down to AAA, that's just, it's so frustrating. This trade has been so bad. But the damage control that the Diamondbacks did yesterday on this was offset by the 2-pound ice cream sundae that they released yesterday. It didn't have anything to do with the trade. It was, hey, we are going to release this 2-pound monstrosity heart attack waiting to 10-pound gaining happen deal at the ballpark starting tonight. So Jordan's going to the game this weekend. You're going against the Dodgers. Does this do anything for you? I mean, you're a big baseball guy. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I do.
You're going to go get one of those?
But I'm not going to drop $25.
Is that what it costs?
$25 and 3,500 calories.
$25?
It's, quote, meant for a family to share. My family doesn't share food well, so.
Well, I don't know a family that does. $25 for that? Is it because the cap is that like a cap from the team shop that they're not able to move this year because the team isn't good?
It must be one of the old ones before it had the textured with the red on the bottom.
That's
so could be one of the old ones.
I mean, really, if you're in the food service, there's some friends of mine that are in the food service industry. What do you think they're making? What are they netting out on that? I mean, show that picture again there, Jared. The cup that they put that's got to be what, $1? 50 cents for the cup?
Yeah, probably.
20 cents for the cup? And then the ice cream, what do you think? 75 cents, $1?
They have waffle cones, so that makes it
well,
fancy.
Well, waffle cones, okay, so $2. All right, so let's just say this costs $3 to make. Let's just say that it costs $3, and that seems a little high. Let's say it's $2.50. $25? So they're making out pretty good on this deal.
Yeah.
We're going to – and, guys, that's how it works. Let's come up with a new item, and let's put a price on it, like those Diamondback, those foot-long deals.
The D-bat,
whatever that is. That cost, what, $3, $2?
Yeah.
And they charge –
I think they charge 25 as well.
They charge 25 as well.
And then the churro dog, I believe, is in the range of about 15.
15.
So we'll see how the churro dog, their sales take a hit.
No, they're going to take a hit. Get the churro dog out of here. We know that everybody wants the $25 piece of ice cream. The facts are that I'm ranting on this at the start of the second half of the season means two things. One, the team blows. Okay. And two, there's really not much when you look at it that's going to change. I mean, we have the trade deadline here in a few weeks. All right. And when the deadline comes, Daniel Hudson's got to go. Daniel Hudson has to go. I like Daniel Hudson. Daniel Hudson needs to go. I think I felt like he could be a reliever. He could be a closer. Don't see it. I think he's got to go somewhere and be a starting pitcher. I'd get Yasmani out of here. Yasmani has shown that his bat is erratic. His glove, I wouldn't say, is anything to write home about. And I don't think I think he's going to always struggle with his physical conditioning out there. He may be the guy that sampled that churro dog or sampled what they're going to really. I don't know. He might have had like five of those. Hey, Yasmani, come here and down these bad boys. I don't know. I just know when Derek made a joke about his weight during their big fundraiser, their big sponsor thing out at Wild Horse Pass back in January. A Jenny Craig joke about Yasmani. So it's within the organization. And so the Diamondbacks are in a division where clearly the Giants are going to run away with this. They have the better pitching. I was talking to a friend yesterday who said, if you go around, this guy's a diehard baseball guy and a really good baseball guy. He said, Brad, if you go around the infield, who would you rather have at first base? And we're talking about the Giants. Who'd you rather have, the second base? Who'd you rather have short? Who'd you rather shortstop San Francisco? I'd give them. Would you rather have Jake Lamb? Would you rather have Paul Goldschmidt? Would you rather have Gene Segura? I mean, if you go around the infield, catcher, it's a no-brainer. They have Posey. In the outfield, it's pretty much, you'd have to say, San Francisco. The starting pitching is where they're killing it. just killing it, but they need help in the bullpen. I'm of the opinion the team is not that bad. They've just underperformed at some positions, and they have some parts that don't fit. When I hear all this stuff about Beef and Wellington and all that stuff, it's just drives me crazy. Like, I don't need nicknames. I need guys that can contribute and play. And he's done a nice job on occasion at the plate for stretches. I shouldn't say on occasion. On stretches, he's done a nice job. But with the trade deadline coming up, this would be the time to be active and aggressive for next year. Like, the Padres traded Pomerantz yesterday to Boston for one of the Red Sox top prospects. That was a pretty smart trade, actually, if you're San Diego. But it shouldn't always be about the prospects, guys. If you know that Aroldis Chapman is going to be available, and he is, and you look at his situation in New York, and the Diamondbacks chased him, and all the stuff that happened with him is now a thing of the past in terms of off the field. He took his abuse in New York from the media, and they fed it out. I don't know off the field if all that stuff is behind him, but on the field, he's already gone through it. So I would be aggressive if I'm the Diamondbacks to look at next year, not giving me the same, well, we're looking at 20, 21, 22. That does not send the right message. It just doesn't. We're going to talk some Pac-12 football media day on the other side. Phil today in the rain, he looked like a soaked dog. We'll have that. And much, much more. Sports360AZ.com. I have no idea who's going to show up at Pac-12 Media Day. It's not lack of preparation. It's just, I've told Eric, just don't go grab a guest to grab a guest. Give me somebody good if you can. There's a fish feeding frenzy out there. He's in the middle of it with a fist fight. We're back with more after this timeout. Todd Graham spoke this morning. We're going to have that here in a minute. And from what I'm hearing, it's really interesting to hear what the coach had to say about the Ray Anderson stuff. When the athletic director spoke out a couple of weeks ago about how he wants things to be dialed back a little bit in terms of bravado and all of that. And if Todd's going to change his style and also being picked fifth in the South. We'll have that in a minute. Yesterday, I want to dial back to Rich Rod from yesterday. So Rich Rod did not talk about his starting quarterback in terms of who it's going to be. And yet, I see Ra'anu Solomon is on some watch lists this year for players to be keeping an eye on in the quarterback position, which I find interesting. When I watched him last season, it felt to me like Solomon had a better grasp when he was able to stay healthy and Dawkins was willing to take more shots down the field. It just felt like there was a different look on that team. When I look at U of A and I look at ASU, okay, kind of like what I just did with the Diamondbacks and the Giants, I will take U of A's quarterback now over ASU's quarterback now. Some of you will run to Twitter and say, I can't believe Brad just made one of the dumbest statements ever. But look, let's be honest. Those two guys have snaps and they have reps. Okay, they have some experience. Arizona State's going to start out the season with zero experience, a couple snaps for Wilkins, but that's it. So they're already further ahead, and I think that goes back to just you see things through maroon and gold glasses versus red and blue glasses. I think Nick Wilson and the backfield of DeMario Richard and Kalen Ballage, I think Nick Wilson's a pretty talented runner for sure, but I like the two-headed monster that they have here. In fact, I like Ballage a little bit more than Richard myself. That's just me. And I think that he is somebody that is a rare special talent. You can go up and down what the two teams are all about. But I thought Rich yesterday was pretty much keeping to script. And we had said during the week he's going to talk about the quarterbacks, how he doesn't like being a Pac-12 media day, and his defensive changeover on his staff. And those are the three highlights. On Todd's part, what we've said leading into it was he's going to get asked about what Ray Anderson had to say, and he's going to get asked about his quarterbacks, and he's going to get asked about being picked fifth in the Pac-12 South, which came out yesterday. So let's go through this because Todd spoke about 30, 40 minutes ago, and he may join us today. He may not. This is one of those feeding frenzies going on over there where Eric may get him. But here's some video from Todd Graham. Todd Graham was asked this morning about the comments that Ray Anderson, his athletic director, made about dialing back the bravado that Todd Graham has put out there since he's come to ASU. This was Todd Graham earlier.
Yeah, but I, you know, from the time we walked in the door, if you walk down the hallway, our goals are written on the wall. And it's number one, we want to produce men of character that know how to live championship life. And I think it's something that I'm proud of, the progress we've made there. Number two, we want to graduate 100% of our players. I think we've made progress there in the four best years academically. And then obviously, we want to be Pac-12 champions. And then it says Rose Bowl champions. And then it says national champ. Why would you have any other goal? Obviously, we learned some lessons last year. You know, the good news is we'd put ourselves in position of having high expectations because we'd had back-to-back 10-win seasons. And we lost a lot of close games is the reality. We've got to win those close football games. So, we worry about the things we can control. And, our mottos rise up. You know, we got knocked on our can. You rise up, you go at it.
Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Rise up. That's fine. That's a fine motto. I don't think he's wrong in his approach there. And we're showing just sound bites. When Todd is unleashed, and some of you have seen Todd out on the speaking circuit, and I've had Todd where we've gone for 15, 20 minutes. When he starts going, you just sit back and let him go. Because he is so confident, and it is borderline arrogant to some people. I think last year he said a couple of things. There were a couple of occasions. But I do believe that you should subscribe that every year you're looking at the thought that you're going to win the Pac-12 South. And then you're going to go into the Pac-12 title game. If we're to go back through Todd Graham, he had the back-to-back 10-win seasons. But it's very fair to point out most of those players, most of them were Dennis Erickson's guys. Most of them were. It's very fair to point out that ASU made it all the way to a Pac-12 title game. It's also very fair to point out because they got crushed on their home field by Stanford. If you look at Todd Graham's run, okay, from getting beaten down at home in the Pac-12 title game by Stanford to when they played Notre Dame at home, and they won that game and they were up to a huge lead. Everett Golson was horrible for Notre Dame, if you remember right. And if you're willing to just follow me on this and understand that ASU ran into a quarterback that was terrible and ASU was able to take advantage of that for a half. Those of you that were at the Notre Dame game, you have to remember that in the second half of that game, it wasn't pretty. In fact, Notre Dame made a run and it made a huge run. And there was stuff going on down the sidelines as I'm sitting up there right behind the ASU bench, seeing stuff between Mike Norvell and Todd that was not pretty. It was all there for everyone to see. The sideline has been a concern. So from that point in time to today, go back and look at how many Power 5 conference victories Arizona State has had since the Notre Dame game. And you'll find that they're barely or below 500. Barely or below. So since getting drilled by Stanford in the Notre Dame game here, it's not been good. And now it's more and more of Todd's players. Okay? I'm not taking sides in this deal. I'm just looking at it straight up. I agree with Todd. Why would you not want to subscribe to go for the best? But the back-to-back 10-win seasons, people, that stuff is fleeting in this day and age. Gus Malzahn is under the gun at Auburn and may well lose his job this year. And this was a guy that was playing in a title game a few years back. That's how quickly it changes. If Kevin Sumlin doesn't have a good season at Texas A&M, bye, gone. And so, you know, for about the last year or so, I've had this view that I think Todd is in trouble this season if things don't go well. You can talk all you want about how, well, 2017 is supposed to be the year. But when you have a new stadium that is coming online and your coach and athletic director don't see exactly eye to eye, and that leads me to this next comment from Todd. And I haven't seen these yet, so I'm reacting with you as I see them. Here is Todd Graham today saying that he is not going to change who he is.
I'm going to be genuine who I am. The reason why is because I'm not a person that looks towards the media as a negative. It's an opportunity for me to communicate with my fans and communicate with Sun Devil Nation and communicate with the future Sun Devils. So, I came, and part of my philosophy is that my players watch this and they hear me. And I believe in them. And I never try to say anything that I try to tell people what I really think. I never try to, I think sometimes, you know, people get tired of same old answers. And I just try to be genuinely who I am. That's something that I'm proud of what we've done in the 4 years that I've been there. And I'm proud of the foundation we've laid. We learned a lot from last year. And what I learned is we got to win the close football games. And so we will proceed with class and character. And that's how I've tried to represent our program.
Okay, so there's a lot of I's and me's in there. A lot. And he's the head coach. And when he talks about with my fans, connect with my fans, I don't know if that's Ray Anderson. And look, I've heard for a while now that the two aren't on the same page, but winning is a cure-all. Winning is a cure-all to all this. It's just, for those that think that this is the good ship lollipop and that last year was just an aberration following two 10-win seasons, I think you're underselling what is going on beneath the surface. I really do. And you don't beat U of A, and you don't have a good season, and the stadium's going to be finished next year, it would be very easy for Ray to say it's just time for us to go different ways. I mean, hearing Todd there, Todd's saying, this is who I am. You have to accept it. This is who I am. And, oh, by the way, you guys in the media, you kind of like having a coach who tells it like it is, meaning I'm not going to change, meaning you're going to have media that's going to stay on his side because they like the easy way out. Easy way is, oh, he gives us great sound bites. Oh, he's a great quote. Oh, he's versus what should be looked at. How are they doing on the field? You know, the classroom side is important. Classroom side is important. But I've yet to meet an athletic director who's going to sit there and say, you know, we're going to roll with this coach, even though we're a below 500 or we're a below level team, especially at a place like Arizona State University that is so competitive and has such a great history in winning football games back in the 70s and 80s. Not in the last 15, 20 years, they don't have a great history of it. But Todd is Todd's kind of just putting the line in the sand here, I think, in hearing him today. Here's Todd Graham being picked fifth in the South. This was earlier today in Los Angeles.
You don't make anything of it. I think that, pretty much how the pick is going to go is kind of how last year finished. And so, I don't worry too much about where they pick us. It's more important where we finish. So I don't know. I couldn't even tell you. I think the highest we've ever been picked is second. Is that right? Or third? Doesn't bother me. I can tell you in this league, if you polled the coaches, it's pretty hard to. There's any team in this league can beat any team on any given Saturday. The parity in this league, and you just look at last year. You know, we had five games that we were winning with 4 minutes left in the game. So, you know, you have to win the close games. You're going to have a close game every week in this conference.
Yeah, and I would agree with him on that. Who cares what we think? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to sit here behind a microphone and say, hey, Todd, I think you're going to finish fifth. Or because I'm a total home guy, I'm going to say, oh, they're going to be the best team in the Pac-12 South. No, they're not. At least on paper right now, they're not. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be. Does UCLA have a better quarterback than Arizona State? The answer is yes. I don't know if he can play at that level. And we may be surprised this season. It's the beauty of sports, but I don't think it matters. Some of you get all wound up. Oh, I can't believe we're being so disrespected and so on and so forth. Look at the way they finished last year in the bowl game. It was a train wreck. How can you sit here and say, oh, they should be picked any higher than fifth or fourth? So that stuff doesn't matter. That's irrelevant to me. So that was Todd Graham from earlier today. But you just kind of put it in your back pocket, and they're going to go through their season. They'll beat NAU. They should. NAU has a really good quarterback, a very good quarterback, and they're a wide-open team, but, you know, man against boys, you should beat NAU. When you play Texas Tech, though, that's going to be, I'm telling you, when that air raid offense shows up on the field and the defense of ASU, the way that it looked last year in the bowl game, if you don't get some things figured out, you're going to get embarrassed, and there's going to be some people that aren't happy with you. At the end of the day, when you have your shiny new stadium that's going to be done next year at this time, completely done, you are going to have some high, lofty goals to sell seats to get interest back in the program. They do not want to be embarrassed with a half-empty stadium. So if you don't have momentum coming into this year, then, yeah, there's going to be, in my view, there's going to be a change if this is not a good season. I don't buy the, well, Todd can go 5-7, and they're going to say, oh, well, the next year is going to be our year. I don't see that happening from a pure business and marketing standpoint. Could be dead flat wrong, but that's my view on it. Phil Mickelson today was awesome. Getting drowned like a dog. We'll have that. The Suns, Summer Suns. And Goody at the Movies, all that straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. You can always reach me online, Brad, at sports360AZ.com. The Mickelson name has been in the news here this week. If you've been away for summer, as most everybody has this time of year. Tim Mickelson quit at ASU as their golf coach. And I think he's going to go represent John Rahm. That would make perfect sense to me. But Phil is putting together something. The British Open is the least viewed of the open championships of the majors because it's summer and everybody's out. But for me, I'm up this morning at 4 a.m. and watching on my phone. And you know, I'm not walking over turning a TV on. It's on my phone. I can check it all out. So Phil is Phil's trying to play in the rain. We have some pictures of Phil, or a picture, I think, of Phil today. I mean, it's just, that just looks awesome, doesn't it? Like, you're out there playing in this, and you're trying to focus and concentrate. You're in a major, and this is what you have to deal with. These are the elements. And it doesn't look like Jordan Spieth is going to make the cut at the Open. And Phil's at minus 10. So now there's total reason for me to watch this weekend. Because who doesn't want to watch a 46-year-old guy try to win? He's got a one-stroke lead over Henrik Stenson. He's at 2-under today. So he shot a 63 and a 69 through the first two rounds of the Open. Zach Johnson, I'm just looking at the leaderboard real quick. Keegan Bradley is 3 back. Zach Johnson is 5 back. And those are the main guys. Mark Keimer's hanging around there. But no, it's great. Dustin Johnson is 8 back. And I like to see Dustin make a run. But it looks as though Jordan Spieth is not going to make the cut. So it's been a good week in golf. Between Jordan and McIlroy back and forth on the Olympics, why they're not going. And now Rory's like, I'm not there to represent the game of golf. I'm here to win. And Jordan like, oh, I'm torn. I just can't imagine not being at the Olympic Games. And now you have Phil coming into the weekend. What a great time. Great time in golf. Von Miller is in the news cycle. I've not seen Jordy since we started the show. Has he decided if $75 million guaranteed is enough for him? $75 million. And I only bring this up because he's the biggest name that's out there. I'm not going to go through all the guys because today is the deadline. But Von Miller is sitting there waiting. Tom Brady, has given up hope of staying off his suspension, according to Adam Schefter. The NFL Players Association is expected to still take the case to the Supreme Court to challenge Roger Goodell's power. That's from Adam Schefter just a few minutes ago. So that's the other big story in the NFL today, for those of you who can't get your NFL fix. We got to get Fabiano on. It's like time to do some fantasy stuff. Tell Eric to get him on next week. Goody at the Movies is next. We're going to talk about Ghostbusters. He saw a Frank Zappa documentary, talk with J.J. Abrams. It sounds like there's a lot of cool stuff with Bill. We'll get to that on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it is Friday, it's the dead of summer, and you're going to go to the movies, it's time for Bill Gutekunst. Good to catch up with Bill. It's been a while. Chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. He joins us now to talk about, well, I don't want to spend too much time on Ghostbusters because it looks awful, but you've talked to some really interesting people this week. More importantly than that, you saw a cool documentary, and you just have a lot going on. So I guess we'll start with Ghostbusters. If you're telling me that this is good, I'm going to drop out of my chair, and it might look good on the stream if I drop out of my chair. So was this any good?
As tempting as that is, it's not bad. It's regular. It's funny in place. I mean, those are funny people who are in it. It's not necessarily necessary, but the thing that's been weird about this from the start is, as soon as they announced it, these fanboys just went insane, and it was like, I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, they trolled the trailer to make it the most disliked trailer of all time on YouTube. They went nuts. They're still going nuts, and it's just bizarre. I mean, why this movie? I mean, I love the original Ghostbusters, but I don't. It's not like the Citizen Kane of comedy or anything. I mean, I've never understood why. You know, I mean, are they going to lose membership in the Bill Murray fan club or something? I don't know. Bill Murray's in it. He supposedly loved the movie. I mean, on the other hand, what's he going to say? But
right.
But no, it's fine. It is completely regular. If it was a movie that came out with, if there'd never been a movie called Ghostbusters before, and these four women came out with the movie, you'd say, that's pretty good. Women in kind of an action movie. That's okay. It's not great. It's not horrible. And it is most of all not a social barometer. I mean, that's what I wrote in my review. I mean, if I like it, does that make me a diehard feminist who thinks that Shakespeare should be rewritten, you know, to better serve women? If I don't like it, am I one of these internet trolls who hates women? You know, I mean, no.
All right. So
didn't mean to get on my horse.
I love it when you're just on a roll here. I just kind of turn the microphone off. It's fine. People like
turn,
that.
What, turn my microphone off?
No. you spoke with J.J. Abrams, and Star Trek IV is coming, and it looks great. Okay, it looks really, really good. But when J.J. Abrams calls, or did you call him? How did that one work?
He calls me.
Yeah, of course he does. So when J.J. Abrams calls you, and the caller ID says Mr. Abrams on the phone, what did you guys talk about?
He's actually a really cool guy. I talked to him a couple months ago, even, for 10 Cloverfield Lane. He is, there's no getting around it, he's a geek. I mean, but in the best possible way.
Yeah.
He's like the geek in high school that was cool. Like, there's some that weren't, but there were some that were so like into their geekiness that like the girls liked them anyway, you know. and he's kind of like that. And one of the things that I talked to him about, and this is not kind of stupid, but it made him remember me the second time that we talked. When I did TV, he did the show Alias before Lost, right?
Sure.
And it was this pretty cool show with Jennifer Garner where she became a spy. She was like a student who became a spy. And it was really well done and really kind of cool. And he came to one of those TV parties that we would go to, and he looked like the busiest man alive. And he had, I don't know if you remember these or not, but it was a precursor to like iPhones and stuff. It was called a Trio.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that.
Was,
yeah.
And Abrams, and they cost $400 or $500, and it was before plans where you know, you're paid on installments and stuff. And he came walking down this road, Wisteria Lane for Desperate Housewives. That's where the party was. And he comes walking down Wisteria Lane, like typing into this Trio. And it was simultaneously the goofiest and the coolest thing I'd ever seen. and I mentioned to him, I said, remember that Trio you had? He's like, yes. And I was like, so we ended up talking about it. But beyond that, we talked about Star Trek, and we talked a lot, not a lot, but most movingly perhaps about Anton Yelchin, who recently died, and he plays the Russian guy in the Star Trek movies. And he's in it a lot, actually, as it turns out, just by the way the movie worked out. And it was interesting to talk to him about that, because he said we knew it was going to be kind of a sad thing because Leonard Nimoy had died, and he said that this just made it just like, you know. And I don't want to give it away because it'll mean more if you see it, but there's a really nice tribute to both Nimoy and Yeltsin at the end of the movie.
Well, And I'll get into, because that comes out next week or in 2 weeks, right? It's 2 weeks?
Next week.
Next week. Okay. So we'll do that one next week. The Infiltrator looks really good, and Bryan Cranston's in it. And it's not showing wide, but it looks like a movie you definitely, is it mobster stuff?
Yeah. In a good way. It's like, you know, Cranston, for my money, I loved him in Malcolm in the Middle. But, of course, the first line in his obit is going to be Walter White in Breaking Bad. I mean, it's one of, it's up there with Tony Soprano or something. You know, it's one of the greatest of all-time roles. But here he plays another guy who kind of changes. He plays a, this guy had been an IRS, he's based on a real guy. He was an IRS accountant, and he started working for Customs, and he started going undercover. And he realized somewhere along the line, you know, we're chasing the drugs to try to get the drug guys. What we ought to be chasing is the money. Because every time we have these busts, we have these billions of dollars. I mean, it's coming from somewhere. So he ends up posing as a money launderer to try to lure in Pablo Escobar. It's like the insane cocaine years of the 1980s. And I'll tell you the thing about this movie. It's you've seen this movie 10 times. It's an undercover guy who gets in too deep, and he starts to question whether he's, you know, which one, who's the real guy, and what do I really, and he gets too close to the people he's supposed to be, you know, arresting. But the thing that makes it really good is Cranston's performance. He's terrific. And also Benjamin Bratt, who plays Escobar's lieutenant, who wanted to be a chef, and is, like, very cultured and very, you know, sort of hoity-toity. He has a great art collection, and he makes some of these gourmet meals and stuff. And when those two are together, it's fascinating. Because you can never shake that feeling, and this is a good thing, that he's going to find out who Cranston is, you know?
So this is one that, if you're choosing between Ghostbusters and this, you're going this way? Just you? You?
Me personally, I would, unless you want a comedy. And unless, I mean, the thing about Ghostbusters is it will give you something to talk about. I mean, you know, it's a phenomenon I don't understand. I understand.
Let me jump in on that one, though. So, because we've got a few minutes left. Frank Zappa. So the documentary on Frank Zappa that came out at Sundance earlier this year, and it's gotten great reviews, and that has come out this week too. And so tell me about this. This one's not showing wide either here in the Valley, but it's about Frank Zappa.
I loved it. And you don't have to like or even ever have heard Frank Zappa's music to like it. It's called Frank, eat that question, Frank Zappa in his own words. And that is pretty much what it is. The thing consists, there's no narration, there's nothing. It's Zappa in interviews, which he hated, but did a lot of, and in concert footage and in home movies. And he says, you know, I'm famous, but nobody really knows what I do. Yeah. in one of these things. And it's really true. And his music is an acquired taste, there is no doubt. And his classical music, I can't even begin to understand. But the guy was an insanely hard worker. Despite being, you know, what seems like the biggest freak-out hippie of all time, he did not do drugs. He did not drink. And he would not let his band drink, I guess he let them drink, but he wouldn't let them do drugs when they were touring with him because he was like, look, I'm paying these guys. I want them to show up. Mm-hmm. He paid his taxes. He considered himself a conservative, but not in the way that conservatism is now. Just he didn't like government messing in his life. It's fascinating. And what it really is like this guy, he's so creative. I mean, he's made more than 100 albums. He died in 1993, and there's an interview with him right before he died. He looks really sick. He looks really bad. And the interviewer says, we understand you're upset. You're disappointed because you can't work as hard as you used to. And he said, yeah. He said, I mean, I don't have the work ethic I did before I got sick. He said, you know, on a good day, I can start about 9:30 and finish about 6:30. That's about all I can do. And it's like, and he was completely, it wasn't like a joke. I mean, he was completely serious. And it's just like, geez. For a look in the creative process and sort of that, he was counterculture in a really different way than all those people were. I mean, he didn't buy into the drug scene. He thought that was stupid. He didn't want all these left-wing organizations and like communists wanted to sort of adopt him. He said, you know, I hate communists. I hate what they do. I'm not, you know, he hated being interviewed. He called it two steps away from the Inquisition, but he's really good at it. And he could play an interviewer just as well as he could play a guitar, and he could really play the guitar.
All right. So it sounds like I need to see, and that's only showing at Valley Arts. But
but Valley Arts, fun trip, man. I love that theater.
Yeah, yeah. So next week is a Star Trek. The week after is Bourne. Have you seen Bourne yet?
I've not seen Bourne yet.
All right. And what are you hearing about Bourne before I let you go? I don't want to be let down.
I haven't heard anything, but as far as I'm concerned, Damon hasn't made a bad one.
Yeah, yeah.
I talked to him for The Martian, so it's been a while, but he seemed pleased at the time with how it was going. And in fact, he said I would not do it if it wasn't to work with Paul Greengrass and if it wasn't a good script. And he is a guy who is in that position where he could say no, you know?
Yep. Yep. No, I got you. Stay well. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
You too. Welcome back from Thank living you. The life of Raleigh, man.
Yeah, I know. I've been around. So see you later. Grand Tetons gets in the way of work. There is Bill Goodykuntz, Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill. Things going on there. I mentioned that I was going to get into the Sun, so I got like 30 seconds here. They play tomorrow in the quarterfinals up in Vegas. If you're looking for something to do and you're a big sports fan and you want to make a run to Vegas, they're playing there tomorrow. Okay. They beat Miami yesterday, so in the Vegas Summer League. And that's that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now. Those comments from Todd Graham, if you missed them earlier, this show repeats over and over and over. And I would say at about the 20-minute mark, you're going to hear those comments. And I think they're really interesting. And we'll write some about it. And there'll be a podcast about it and all that. We go multi-platform here. Thanks for being with us.